Welcome. My name is Asan Ustolu. I'm a trainee editor of the UEG Journal, and you're listening to the UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal, with the purpose of learning from the most recent evidence and to provide a platform for authors to discuss the most important findings of their research. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the UEG Journal podcast. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Raul Vallamathan from Spain, and we're going to be talking about their recent study published in the UEG Journal titled Symptomatic Gallstone Disease, Recurrence Patterns and Risk Factors for Relapse After First Admission, the RELAPSTONE study. Thank you very much for joining me, Raul. I hope you're well.
Hello. First of all, thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to hear commenting on our article.
Thank you. Can you please start by introducing yourself and your co-authors?
Yeah, I am currently working as a gastroenterologist at the Miguel Servet University Hospital in Zaragoza, Spain. There are several co-authors in this work, most of them from 16 Spanish tertiary hospitals, but also from two Mexican centers, and all of them with a special interest in biliopancreatic diseases. And from here, I would like to thank all of them for their participation, especially my mentor and friend, Enrique de Madaria, and also to the AEG, the Spanish Association of Gastroenterology, for the grant awarded in 2029.
Lovely. It is a very long list of authors, so it just goes to show how much collaboration is needed for this kind of work. Can you please tell us about the aims of your study, what the RELAPSTONE study set out to do?
Of course. As we know, symptomatic gallstone diseases are very prevalent and their incidence is increasing in recent years. The treatment to prevent relapses is early cholecystectomy. However, in Spain and other parts of the world, there is a long surgical waiting list, currently about 4 months here in Spain, which make it difficult to perform early. There is limited and heterogeneous evidence on the predictors of recurrence, as well as recurrence patterns of the five main gallstone diseases. So the aim of our study was to describe the recurrence patterns and also the predictors of relapse after each specific gallstone disease, in order to generate evidence that can help prioritize the surgical waiting list.
Okay, interesting. I understand that this was a multi-center retrospective cohort study. Can you tell us about the methods you used to assess the predictors of relapse in patients hospitalized for the first time due to symptomatic gallstone disease?
Yes, it is indeed a retrospective multi-center study. And we required 3,016 patients hospitalized for the first time for one of the five symptomatic gallstone diseases, such as acute pancreatitis, acute cholecystitis, acute cholangitis, cholecystitis, and biliary colic, and who had not undergone cholecystectomy on admission. We collect demographic, clinical, imaging, and analytical variables. We record these analytical variables at admission, during admission, and at the discharge. Then we follow up the patients until they were cholecystectomized, died, or had a recurrence, and we characterize the recurrence by collecting different clinical variables. Finally, we perform a bivariate and then a multivariable analysis for both the general population and each disease to detect predictor variables associated with their recurrence.
Okay. And what were your main findings?
Well, the recurrence rate in the overall sample at 3 months was 21%, 29% at 6 months, and 37% at 12 months. The cholecystectomy rate was 52%, and the median waiting time was 4 months. So, considering the waiting time for cholecystectomy and the relapse rate, it is clearly too long. With regard to the recurrence patterns in the different diseases, Acute cholangitis and symptomatic choledocholithiasis showed lower relapse rate compared with the other diseases, but this difference in the bivariate but not in the multivariable analysis were probably due to the influence of older age and higher sphincterotomy rate in these diseases. The median time for the first recurrence was 2.2 months, and overall the most frequent relapse pattern was biliary colic, followed by acute pancreatitis. And interestingly, the most common presentation of relapse in each symptomatic Alston disease was consistent with the same disease that caused the index episode, followed by the biliary colic. Another important finding was that the majority of patients who suffered relapses only had one episode, but 43% suffered two or more episodes of recurrence until the end of the follow-up. Turning now to the predictors of recurrence, in the multivariable analysis, there were five factors that showed an association with recurrence: age over 54 years and endoscopic sphincterotomy were protective factors for recurrence, with hazard ratios of 0.57 and 0.58 respectively. The presence of multiple cholelithiasis compared to simple cholelithiasis or biliary flats was associated with an increased risk of relapse, with a hazard ratio of 1.19. And finally, two analytical data associated with the recurrence: an ALT value higher than 35 as well as a value lower than 11,000 leukocytes were associated with a slightly increased risk of recurrence.
Interesting. I'm surprised in a way that older age is a protective in terms of recurrence. And how do you think blood leukocyte count and ALT levels were associated with disease recurrence? I know you said it's only a small association, but is it simply because higher leukocyte count suggests active inflammation and infection, and higher ALT indicates liver inflammation or injury, or what do you think is causing this?
This is an interesting but difficult question, as there is no previous evidence linking any analytical value to recurrence. Elevated ELT might be linked to gallstone passage through bile ducts, as observed in acute pancreatitis, where an ALT greater than 150 suggests gallstone etiology. This passage through the bile duct can leave inflammation or fibrosis and make it more likely that a new stone will get stuck and cause a recurrence. Regarding leukocytosis, it could be hypothesized that the increased leukocyte count might be a signal of significant gallbladder inflammation, which could be associated with some degree of fibrosis of gallbladder wall with subsequent hypomotility and a decreased risk of further gallstone leading to symptom or complication. Also, it might be a manifestation of significant pancreatic inflammation leading to pancreatic scarring, decreasing the risk of further episodes of acute pancreatitis. But I have said there is no previous evidence on this issue, so this is simple hypothesizing.
Okay, thank you. And what would you say are the limitations of your study? So if you could go back and redesign the project, is there anything that you would change?
Well, first of all, when designing the study, we gave priority to making a correct diagnosis of each symptomatic Alston disease, and therefore we dictate as an inclusion criteria the need to be admitted to hospital for the necessary complementary test. As we know, the diagnosis of biliary colic doesn't usually require hospital admission. This is why we don't have a large number of patients with this disease in our sample, and therefore our conclusion on this disease should be limited to patients admitted for biliary colic, not to outpatients. On the other hand, this is a retrospective study, and although we have several strategies to minimize possible biases, we know that this type of study has its limitations. And in this sense, we are considering prospective validation of our data in a future study.
Okay. So is the future study going to be a prospective validation of using the same kind of analysis, looking at recurrence patterns of gallstone disease in the same way? And is it going to be in the same centers as well?
Yeah. We are considering doing a prospective validation with the same criteria of our present study, but in a prospective way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow, that sounds exciting. I think it's great work, and I'm not really in the pancreobiliary space myself, but I've learned lots from this discussion. So thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to seeing your prospective work soon, hopefully.
Thank you very much for your invitation.
Thank you, Raoul. All the best.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this interview. And if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your episodes from. Thank you, and see you again.
UEG Talks, Gastroenterology to Go. Check out our new podcast.